3, 2, 1. That's right. You're listening to the It's My Time podcast, a recording of the experiences, past and present, of everyday people.
Yes, indeed. Yes,
and now, here's your host,
you know who it is,
the one, the only,
let's go,
Asher Chua.
Hey, welcome to the podcast, Jamie.
Hey, Asher, how you doing?
Pretty good, man. It's finally good to have you on the podcast. I think you're one of a few artists that I've been able to talk with, and it's great to see what you do on IG, see what you do in other forms, like some of the art you've got in the background there, but actually get to talk to the person behind the art, I feel is really cool.
Yeah, this is awesome, man. I really appreciate you having me on. So I'm excited to talk about whatever you want to talk about.
You're very welcome. Well, one question I love to ask every guest is, who do you say you are?
Oh, that's a good question. I guess first thing that comes to mind is I'm a dad, I'm a boyfriend, I'm a family member, I'm definitely an artist. Hopefully I'm just a person that in general just cares about life and cares about people. That's what comes to mind, I guess.
I like that. And I guess like you mentioned, just how did your journey start before you got into art?
Well, I've always been in art. I've always drawn. I've always loved drawing and painting. As I started as young as I could possibly remember, I think I was like 2 when I did the first. I guess I would have been like 4 when one of the first paintings that I remember doing was I did a painting of my brother in my mom's stomach. So I definitely would have been about 3 or 4 years old at that time. And my mom was just very supportive of my art, no matter, what it was I was doing. So she was definitely a driving force that kind of pushed me along in my earlier days, but I just always loved drawing. So when I was in school and playing sports, I was always in playing sports and drawing, but I was at school to play sports. So I would just do enough to pass so I could keep playing sports. And then all my other free time in class was spent drawing. So usually when people were like learning about something, I was usually drawing. Yeah. And that's kind of like that went all throughout all of my school years. I didn't take any classes, like actual art classes, until I got to college. And then even though art was my major in college, it wasn't like a seriously like intense art program. So I didn't learn a whole lot there either. and so then I just always kept doing it on my own. You know, I did a lot of different things. But I would say, I'm 47 years old now, and I've only really taken on professional art in the last couple of years. I would say I've been my regular job, I've been a graphic designer for over 20 years now.
Wow. I guess what's that like, being a graphic designer and being able to like make art in your own way on the side?
It was really awesome, actually, because when I got out of college, like I said, my major was fine arts, but I had no idea what I wanted to do with my art. It's, that was 1997 when I got out of school. Mm-hmm. And now it's 2022. Like I said, I've only taken on professional art in the last few years. And so graphic design, when I got out of school, was like I had no idea what it was. There was no graphic design classes in my school. I just happened to meet a guy who did it and worked for a sign company. And I was like, whoa, that's cool. I want to do that. I can do that. And so I was living in Indianapolis at the time. And then eventually I moved down to Atlanta. So once I got to Atlanta, the first thing I did was I started looking for graphic design jobs with sign companies. And I opened up the Yellow Pages and called one and ended up working for that company for 17 years. And so I learned so much with graphic design. It was something that I could do pretty well with my creative artistic side. Obviously I had to learn how to use the software and all these things on the job, but it was a really good, it was a great thing for me and my career and being able to take care of my family, because, you know, if I was relying on paintings or drawing, yeah, we would have been in trouble. We would have been homeless. So graphic design, I learned so much. I learned how to design. I can do logos, brochures, all that cool stuff, but I can also do video editing, animation. So that's very, very important now, yeah, in this world of social media, where if you can't afford to pay somebody to do all this stuff, painting just fell off the walls.
Not Bruce Lee. Oh,
the whole nail came out.
Hey, but you had to say Bruce Lee. We can't let him go down like that.
Yeah, not Bruce Lee. We got to keep that, though. I don't know what that means.
Yeah,
that the painting just fell off the wall. But gotcha. All right, but we're good.
Yeah,
so we're talking about graphic design.
Yeah, yeah. You were like just going into graphic design, like you were saying in 97, and kind of like just figuring out what that was for the first time and just being like, okay, like this is a thing you can do signing. And then you get into animation and you get into editing and different things like that. And I think you were talking about not being able to hire people to do all those things, but I think you were going to make the point that you being one person that can do all those things, it kind of limits, like, okay, you don't have to pay five or three people to do that. You can pay one person like yourself.
Right. Absolutely. Just put the time in and create all of that, you know, your branding, your colors, you know, your animation, your logo animations, all that cool stuff. Mm. Of course it takes plenty of time, but,
right.
I enjoy doing it. So it's pretty cool to be able to do that. And then, you know, of course, grow the art on the side along with it.
That's pretty cool. I guess one thing, I think I almost missed it, but when you said one of the first paintings you made was like at 2 or 4 when you were made a drawing of your brother, I'm guessing it's your younger brother, in your mom's womb. Like what was her like immediate reaction to that? Like, oh wow.
I know she loved it, but you know, she's a mom, and she, you know, moms love your work, but there was definitely something special about my mom. And you know, it was just her love for art, of course, stemmed from her dad and her parents. Her dad, my grandfather, was an organist and a professor of music, and he taught it actually a few HBCUs. And you know, her sister, my aunt, was a singer, and she always participated in choir. So there was definitely a love of art already there in our family, and I think she was really excited because I was adopted as well. So now that I'm thinking about that right now, as I'm saying, I never thought about it from that point of view, but you know, what are the chances that you get, you know, this little person who's really good at art into this art family? So, you know, she was excited. To answer your question, she was really excited, and she was always excited when I drew stuff. So yeah, that was real fuel for me.
Yeah, that is exciting. It's just thinking about it, like, man, I think the best piece of art I ever came up with was like a flower, maybe, that I drew in fifth or sixth grade. And it was like in art class. And I don't know how long it took me, maybe like 30 minutes to draw that thing. And I was like, just try to make the line as like clean as possible. But it's, hey, everybody's got their own talent in their own way.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you know, I'm pretty... You may have something that you don't know you have too. I mean, I know there's probably a lot of people out there who can draw who maybe never really, really gave themselves a chance, you know, for whatever reason, you know, whatever combinations of things happen. But I'm slow. I'm real slow when I draw. I'm trying to get faster. That's one of the things I'm working on. But I understand how long it took to draw your flower.
I guess with understanding that you're slower at it, like how did you allow yourself to like take your time and kind of get it to look how you want it to look, versus like, okay, I've got to be pressed for a deadline, or like it's not looking right, okay, I'm just gonna trash it? Or like, how did you how did you kind of go through that process of like, I guess just doing it for so long and also just being like, okay, like it's good enough, or do you go back and tinker with old drawings or old paintings that you've made before?
Yes to all of those things. Of course, you know, when you start doing things professionally, it almost forces you to be okay with, in a certain sense, to be okay with whatever it is you come up with, because you don't have the luxury of spending an infinite amount of time on creating it. You got to get it to the customer within a certain period of time. So when you start doing things professionally, you have to do something. You have to finish it, and it's not always gonna look the way you want it to look. And that piece right there is a definite challenge in being an artist, because if you really want to make money, it's not enough to be good at it. It's like you have to be fast at it too, because you really have to crank that stuff out. You know, if you're seriously going to pay your bills,
yeah,
you really got to crank it out. And once you realize that, you know, hey, when I do have to crank this out at a certain speed, it doesn't look exactly like, you know, my other stuff. It looks a little different. It looks a little funny. And then you have to, I guess, painfully be okay with that, because you have to give it to the customer. But then also you can use that as fuel to say, okay, what do I need to do to get faster and to maintain that level of quality that I'd like to see? And that's a big part of the challenge. And that's what I'm going through really now is, yeah. I'm working on my first professional project. So I'm working on I did a book a long time ago. But now I'm working on two children's books and a big comic book. And it's taking me a long time because I want it to look a certain way. And because it's just so much work that it's like forcing me to grow. It's forcing me to, painfully so, because it's not done yet, but I can't stop until it is. And that's, you know, it's hard and it's fun and it's exciting and it's scary all at one time.
That's a lot.
I think I kind of answered the question and then kind of went off on a tangent.
No, you went right where I wanted to go, because what's interesting about that, it's like, can you, with the project that you're currently working on, can you describe kind of like what a day-to-day has been like? Like, does it help to work on that like all day long, like 10 hours, 5 hours? Like, do you have to have something to kind of balance to say, okay, I'm going to spend some time here and then spend some time over there, just to where you don't wear yourself out just trying to put all your energy into that one project for the entire day?
Yes. And the amount of time that I have to work on these projects varies. Because, you know, there was a period of time during the pandemic when I did have a window and I really was able to just work full time on those books. And, you know, reality comes in and, you know, you got to pay those bills. So, you know, now that I'm working a more than full time job, mm-hmm. it's harder to find that time to finish the work. So now it's like, okay, I got to work a little bit on this tonight. Then I got to work a little bit on the other project tomorrow night and a little bit. And it's like, it takes a lot of discipline, a lot of discipline in a lot of different ways too, because there's like this perseverance part to it. Because like I said, you know, you have to finish it. You have to. Even though there's not that much time. And I, to be honest, I don't even know where you find the time to finish, you know, something like that, but you just do. I just, you know, like, you just do. And it is hard. It is very hard, but you gotta believe that, you know, hey, if I just keep doing what I can do and I stay consistent with it, I am going to finish.
Yeah, man. I'm not sure what it is about animation or just artistry in the way that you do it and in the way I've seen people do it, it captures your imagination where you find a way to bring things to life in a different way. It's almost like you could see you and me talking like this, but then seeing it drawn and like you put in different characteristics to what's on the page or what's on the screen is something pretty neat. And like, what was that transition like for you going from, like, has it always been in digital form when you've drawn, or like, what has it been like having to go from like physically drawing something out like on a sheet of paper versus like doing the stylish? And like, I saw some of like your YouTube shorts and IG shorts where you have it sped up and like you're using the stylus and just drawing it. And it's like, man, it just seems like it's effortless. But like you say, like there's some of that painstaking, just having to go through it and get what you can get at a time. Like what's that? What's the process been like, you going from paper to digital and having to like learn the tips and tricks?
Yeah. I think there's definitely an element of, it's a little misleading, you know, when you watch somebody work, you know, it's like, I mean, we're not going to, well, maybe some people are, but I can't show everybody how many times I messed up, you know. Maybe there is a cool way to edit that in. I have to figure out. But the process for me was a big challenge because I had always drawn on paper my whole entire life. And actually, I first tried to do digital when I did my first children's book. And I can't remember. I have to look up the date, but I want to say it was about maybe 10 years ago when I first started trying to work digitally. And it was really hard. It was like, it didn't make sense. And it didn't make sense to my hand. And I guess, you know, my brain. So I like 10 years of just trying to get to the point where I can do it. And then just, you know, getting as much information as I can on the internet, you know, YouTube videos, tutorials, yeah. and just trying to do it over and over again. There's absolutely no secret to, you know, where I've gone, you know, where I started and where I am now 10 years later working digitally. I still am not totally there. I usually start on paper. Even now, I'll start on paper, I'll take a picture of it. Mm-hmm. I'll take that into Photoshop, and then I'll start working on top of my sketch. So I'm still not to the point where I'll just start sketching straight in Photoshop on the computer. So it's just literally just working, just trying over and over again. That's it.
Yeah. Well, I guess what's that feeling like when you completed something, like some of the stuff that you've been able to edit and share and just be like, you, if you're like scrolling through your own page and you look back and you're like, man, I did that.
That's a real good feeling because I am a serious critic of myself, and I don't post as much work as I should because I am so critical of, you know, what I'm doing. And it has a lot to do with, you know, there's a lot of artists that I look up to and I admire. And, you know, when you sit down and you start to draw, you have this, even if you don't know what your art looks like, you have an idea of how good it should be. And yeah, you feel that when I draw something and it's not awesome, it's an immediate like, ugh, I want to throw it away. But so what happens is I don't throw it away. I keep most, well, obviously if it's digital, I don't throw it away, but you guys just don't get to see it. So when I hit it and I get it very excited and I can't wait to share it. And that's one thing that I would like to get better at least by working more live and just, you know, working through the process, whether it's a finished piece that I end up liking or not. Yeah. I would personally, that's something, that's a goal for myself. I would like to do more of that. Okay. So that people can see, hey, you know, he's not perfect. Right. He's not knocking this out of the park. He's trying to learn.
Yeah.
You know,
it's funny because we were talking earlier about how we met and just going through, like David Shands going through to one of his events that he put on with the IG Post Exchange and meeting different people and having seeing the skills that they have and seeing if you can build a team around that. It's always interesting because it's like they talk about like having to be consistent in what you do and just having to have that willingness to make mistakes and like show your mistakes, because it's weird. Like you go through school, and I think it's like I heard a professor, he was like a poet, that put together this speech talking about like why teaching matters. And somebody was making fun of him at a dinner party because they were a lawyer. And they were like, well, if you can do it, you do this. But if you can't, then you just teach. But it's interesting because they say like in mathematics, you're supposed to show your work. But then in English, you're supposed to hide your work in the way that you formulate your sentences. But it's interesting how social media kind of brings things together now. And you talk about things like NFTs are a big thing. I don't know. Is that something you've paid attention to? Just seeing how people are looking into the digital art and how they're making it like, okay, this is something that I've created. This is something that can live for a long period of time, but at least if I make it, it's something that you know came from me. And then this is how I can have a means of exchange between myself and someone else or multiple people down the line, versus just like it's a painting that's locked up somewhere, never to be seen again, unless you have like the Mona Lisa with the tiny little picture and everybody's like gathered almost half a mile away just trying to see it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, man, that was a lot. But I know of a tiny bit about NFTs. Not enough to like really talk about it. I do know that in the art community, it's kind of a battle. Like, you know, there's a lot of people who feel like it's the Wild Wild West and that people are actually taking advantage of artists by, you know, just taking people's art and claiming it as their own and making it into NFTs. Mm. So I know there's some artists like, and I don't personally have an opinion. I don't know enough.
Right,
you know,
right
about it, but I think it's, you know, you have to try to keep up with those kind of things, because you know things change, you know, and I think it's really important to, you know, try to understand as things evolve at least a little bit about it. Yeah. You know, whether you do it or not, you can still take from it. So
right,
even though I don't know about NFTs, I mean, but, you know, as it pertains to sharing your art, that's one cool thing. Like, you don't have to be limited to original work anymore. Like, work can be shared in so many different ways. It could be shared in a video on social media. It could be shared as a print, you know, which can be, you know, sold to thousands and thousands of people. It could be on shirts. It could be on cups. Like, you could 3D print it. It's like, It's a really cool time to be an artist because of technology and because of social media. And of course, there's downsides to everything, but it's just, I don't know that much about NFTs, but I try to know a little bit about, you know, all of these things. So,
right. No, that makes sense. I just thought to kind of bring it up because it's one of those buzz things. And I mainly found out about it through, Gary Vaynerchuk, and just kind of seeing like what he's doing with it or trying to understand what he's doing with it. I'm like, it's definitely one of those things where you have to self-educate for a while and you got to be willing to get in the weeds of it. Because like you said, you easily have people being scammed or you have other people trying to pass off things that aren't their own as their own. But there's as much downside as there could be. There's always the upside where it is kind of like the Wild Wild West where you get a number of things. But the reason I bring up Gary Vee is because like he's someone that's well known, and kind of hearing his idea of what he's trying to do, but also seeing like the drawing difference where it's like the quality of one of your drawings. Like I'm looking back there, I see the football stars where they're like action and in motion, but his is like little doodles and things like that, which I guess in a sense I could be like, oh, I could do that. But like not understanding everything else that goes with it. It's like, maybe I'm not ready to do that. So it's like, I shouldn't be comparing myself to him, so to speak. But
I think it's totally okay. That's one thing about art is mm-hmm. like, art is whatever we say it is, you know. Most of us don't believe that, myself included. But art is not necessarily this amazing, beautiful painting of whatever, you know, put whatever in there. Art, you know, can be literally anything. Art can be a stick if you want it to be. So, with that being the truth, it's like, you know, you can really shape yourself as an artist. And I mean, you know, writers are artists. So why can't, you know, anybody else be an artist? Like, you know, people who do interviews, you know, like no matter what you do, I feel like, you know, if you put enough time and thought into it and, you know, you blend something from here, you blend something from there and you create something, you've created something beautiful. You can call it art. You don't have to, but to me it is, you know?
Yeah, that's a great point. And just looking back at the Bruce Lee photo behind you, I guess what inspired you to make that one?
Well, I just always have been inspired by Bruce Lee. Even though, you know, I didn't even, you know, honestly, I did not watch all of his movies. But there was a couple of movies that I did watch that I've watched many times over and over. And I've just always been captivated by the dude. Like in my younger age, I probably couldn't have, you know, eloquently described why. But as I got a little bit older and I got into college, and actually that's when I did that painting, that was my first painting in college, actually. That was my first painting on canvas. It might be my second painting on canvas. Mm. And, you know, I would read about him. I actually got a really nice book about his workouts. And it just, he was one of the first people who just like kind of blew my mind, like with his work ethic and, you know, all of the time and attention he put into his training and his workouts. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, on the level of, you know, whatever top athletes you want to mention today, he was on that level. And so that really inspired me. And then you just add in the really cool fighting and, you know, beating everybody's butt and the nunchucks, you know, all that stuff. I was an 80s kid. So, you know, like G.I. Joe, Transformers, action movies, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, all that stuff just really inspires me. So Bruce Lee is definitely one of those figures that really kind of inspired my art, especially in the beginning. I probably need to start doing some new pieces.
Gotcha, man. It's interesting because like you, for myself, I'm 32. I didn't really grow up with a lot of the things, but there's those things that kind of transcend culture. So whenever I see that painting and I see it in blue, it reminds me of that quote that he says, like, be like water, like be shapeless, be formless. And it's just like, it just flows. And he's got like the fist going forward. I'm like, man, it just puts me kind of in that state of just being like, it's calm, but it's inspiring. And it's just like, okay, that's dope. And you've had it for that period of time and you've been able to preserve it that well.
Yeah, that's about the only thing I was able to preserve, because that's one thing I'm kind of sad about. I have lost all of my artwork pretty much that I did in my childhood, all the way through college. Actually, I created a bunch of really cool characters when I was in college, and I've lost just about everything from college to born between there. So I make sure my son, my oldest son, I have two boys, 14 and 18, Jason and Caden. And my oldest Jason he's a really amazing artist. So, and Caden is a good artist too. He just doesn't like to do it as much, but I keep all of their drawings preserved and packed away for that very reason.
Yeah. Have you thought of recreating any of your drawings, like any that come to mind, or like if you try to sit down and be like, okay, I remember doing this? Because that's one of the things that I think Gary Vee is actually doing. I think some of those characters are like maybe childhood characters or childhood doodles in a sense.
That's a great idea. I never thought of doing that. It would be a challenge for me because, you know, I kind of remember all those characters, but I don't remember exactly what they looked like. So And which that might be cool too, but that's a really good idea. I probably won't try that because there's a lot of things I want to do.
Right, right. You don't want to put too much on your plate.
Well, I know I'm totally okay with that, but I probably won't get around to it, because of all the things I'm working on. But that's an amazing idea. I don't know why I never thought about that. That's a great idea.
That'd be awesome because it's interesting because like, One of the things like you talk about doing art, like I didn't think I was creative in a sense before until like I was like, oh, okay, like maybe I can do podcasting because I'd seen people do it and trying to understand like, okay, hey, how do you have like a casual conversation but make it something worthwhile? Or like how do you engage with the other person that you talk to and actually listen effectively? And like you described it, like being able to like be creative in that sense has been helpful for me because I was like, I have a hard time drawing or to where I'm like, I don't want to go back and look at that. But seeing that like, okay, I can be artistic in my speaking or I can be artistic in my writing. And that actually helps me to think more clearly and be able to like form my sentences, like rewrite it. Like I can look over at my bookshelf right now and like I started writing in these Panda Planner journals where they like break out the month, the week, the day. And it just helped me kind of jot things down and be able to review the weeks and review the months and be like, oh, okay, like these are the things that I got done. And a really good friend of mine had given me this this other journal, which was like just blank, but it was kind of like artistic where the pages are old. And I was like, okay, for this one, instead of just writing on like a regular notebook page, I'm going to reflect on certain times and like write in it. So I think one of the first entries was when I moved back home for a little bit and just being back in the town where I grew up, in the house where I grew up from like fifth grade through high school. And it was like, man, okay, I'm walking around the track that they built. And I think the college plays there now. They play soccer there. And I was like, man, I remember coming out here and trying out for sixth grade soccer and not making it, not being able to cut it. It's like, yeah, these guys, they're playing on a whole nother level. Like originally coming from Cameroon and being like, hey, that's a big thing from being from that country and seeing that like, okay, people say, oh, this is in your genes or you're this or you're that. But it's like, it might be, but everybody doesn't play athletics on the same level. It's like, if you don't have it, you'll find out really quickly. Like the people that have been playing and they go out and they exercise and they train, like whatever sport it is that they're in, if they've been doing it since they were kids and they have that competitive nature about them, it's like, and you just show up just being like, oh, I'm from here, but I've never played a day in my life or I haven't played as often. It's like, yeah, there's levels to it. It's not, you don't just get on by your birthright, so to speak.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You got to put that time in. Yeah. I mean, no matter what it is, you got to put that time in. And I think that we all have, you know, maybe certain things in us that, you know, lend us to be good in certain areas, but it's no golden ticket. It's like, it's just a starting point, you know, if you don't put that time in.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not there.
I guess you can't cheat. You can't cheat time, so to speak. It's like you spend so much time looking for a shortcut. Sometimes it's like you're better off just taking the long way around and you would have gotten there just as easily, so to speak. What do they say? Like overnight success usually takes about 10 to 20 years, maybe a little bit more.
Yep. Yep. And then we fall for that trap. All the time, man, all the time. Like and it's not, you know, it's not our fault. I mean, I think about this a lot because the people that you see are always going to be the most popular people. And oftentimes, you know, 9 times out of 10, the most popular person put the most work into their craft, whatever that craft was. And that's why it's entertaining. So, you know, we get so used to seeing, I get so used to seeing these people who are killing the game and, you know, they're at the peak, the tip of the pinnacle. And it's like, you know, I find myself comparing myself to those people. And like, I'm like, oh, you know, you hear the little things like, oh, just be consistent. You know, just post content consistently, and you know it's gonna happen. It'll snowball and roll down the hill, and it'll be a great party. But it doesn't. It's not. That's you're missing the important part. And it's like you said, you know, there's all these different things, NFTs. There's all these amazing things going on, but social media. But at some point, you have to be willing to just turn all of those things off and really just focus on that thing and becoming, you know, the best you can be at that thing. And know that if you do that, that everything else will work its way out. It'll work itself out. And that's, you know, what I try to remind myself all the time, because it's so easy to get sucked into those amazing people who are doing all these amazing things. And I'm like, I just have to post. All I have to do is post consistently. I could be just like them. Yeah. No, it has nothing to do with posting, you know?
Well, I think to that point, it's like the posting part is like, I guess it's all in a matter of what you want to do, really. Because it's like, and a lot of people I've heard use the term transparency, because it's like, it doesn't feel good for me when I do the podcast, for instance, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to work with an editor to help me kind of like mix it a little bit and put the episode out. But one of the things that I shared with him at the beginning was like, I want to leave the mistakes in that are somewhat bearable. I don't want it to be too clean. I don't want it to be too refined, because like I want it to be real. Like I don't want too many things cut out. But then after you listen back to so many episodes, I'm like, is that really what I wanted? Versus like, just make it clean like this, make it like this professional thing. But then I remember it's like, hey man, you're only 3 years into this. Like, it's not going to be pretty, but that's the reality of it. And then when I'm listening back, it's like, it's forcing me to think like, okay, do I not post something because I want a certain feedback? And then when I don't get it, it's like, is that what's driving me? Or is it the reason why I'm doing it? Is that more important than like, okay, somebody liked it, somebody didn't like it. And then I've got to do that like personal interrogation and being like, am I really being honest with myself? It's like, I'm chasing a little bit of clout, but I have to be honest with myself to say, I don't need it necessarily. Like it's not going to get me the end goal. And what's funny, it's like in posting on Instagram and in posting on YouTube more recently, and trying to go back to some of the lessons having learned from people that do content or like the social media stuff for other people that are like bigger brands more consistently. It's like, okay, like there are trends and times that I need to follow, being like, do this at this time and it works in this way. But at the same time, it's like, okay, let me find a way to repurpose the content that I've already shared. Like, okay, for some reason, I don't know if it's really people viewing it or if it's a bot picking it up. Like 15-second video gets viewed 1,000 times versus like a minute video of the same thing when it's not all cut up gets viewed less times. And I'm like, okay, let me not make it more complicated than it needs to be. It's like, okay, I can share this content on this day and I can make the focus of this week focusing on this person. This week is Jamie's week. So it's like, here's some of Jamie's work. Here's the project that he's working on. Here's this. That way it's like, am I doing a good enough job of sharing you with like an audience for that week? And it's like, whatever is good enough, so to speak. I'm like, I don't know. So sometimes I don't know, but it helps to like, in having this conversation, being able to chat back and forth through message, like actually being able to check on you, be like, hey, how are you doing outside of art, outside of that? It's like, okay, I think as I'm going through the process and kind of evolving myself personally, it's kind of teaching me, like my friend Isaiah said, it's like in wanting to know all the questions of like, oh, okay, how do I do this? How do I do that? It's like, I think the best thing that he told me, it's like, you got to shut all of that stuff off, kind of like you said, and you really got to like focus in on what it is that you're doing. Like all the stuff that I don't want to look at, but I go look at other people's stuff and get distracted. And I'm like, oh, this looks good, until like you get that little nagging thing that's like, yeah, you're avoiding your own job. Like you're avoiding the work that you need to do. It's like, yeah, dang it, like shut up. Stop saying that. It's like, I'm not avoiding, I'm taking a break. I'm just chilling out. Like, oh, I got to go listen to it on double speed or like go back and look at it and just be like, okay, if I've got the things reviewed that I need for this month, I got it done. And then I'm like, kind of put it to bed versus like, okay, because on the other end, it's like, if I do enough work versus I do too little of work, and then I'm constantly like tweaking. It's like, I can't keep changing something. After a while, it's like, you got to do it, put it out, and just let it live in the internet world forever, wherever it lives.
Yeah. You have to let it go. I mean, because there's deadlines, and that's what's really awesome about what you're doing. You're putting yourself on a deadline, and you're producing, you know, X number pieces of content every week. And I think it's inspiring, man. I've gone through your list and I'm like, man, he's cranking it out. And when you put it out, then you have something to go back, like you said, go back to and judge. Because I find that when I look at, you know, all my best videos or my best posts, I was happy that I got it out. But then once it's out and I look at it, I'm like, oh, well, maybe I didn't need that. You know, just like you said with the editor, you know, you have this idea like, hey, I want it to be raw. I want it to be real. I want, you know, to feel this. But in order to get the effect that you're trying to get, it may not be what you think you need to do. Like, I'll create this whole video. It'll have an intro. It'll have the middle part, what I'm working on, what I'm drawing, and then it'll have the end. And I'll look at it and I'll be like, nobody wants to see this whole segment. Like, I thought it was amazing when I was making it.
Right,
but then I go back and watch, and I'm like, nobody wants to see that. And that's a part of the process. You know, you put that stuff out and you're like, and it's totally okay to go back and say, no, we don't need this. Yeah. You know, it wasn't the desired effect. Mm. You know, it just didn't tug on the heartstrings, or it didn't, you know, jump out in your face, or, you know, it didn't slow down or speed up. You know, those, like, when you look at those things, then you're like, okay, I think that's how you get to the good stuff, you know, because it's true. It's like, you don't want to do it for praise per se, you know, for the wrong reason, but you do want to create a product that's inspiring, that affects people the way you want them to be affected, and, you know, and draws them in. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. And I know I, you know, struggle with those kind of things all the time, the little things like that. And, you know, it's really helpful when it finally clicks and you're like, oh, why am I beating myself up on this stuff? You know, like, I talk about that with my son. Like, we like to talk about Corey Kenshin all the time. I don't know if you know who he is, but he's a YouTube. He's like a really big time YouTuber. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got 10 million plus now. And he plays video games. He's been doing it since before, like when he was like in high school. He started YouTubing when he was in high school. He's through college already. He's got 10 million. He's big time, but he burns out all the time. And he disappears for 3 months, 4 months, 6 months. And we're like, he doesn't want anybody to help him. He makes amazing videos. He plays the games. He records himself. He does multiple cameras. Like, you know, he's recording the game. He's recording himself. He's going back and editing it all and putting it together. And he refuses to let anybody else edit. He refuses. He's like, that's my thing. But, you know, like, I was just, me and my son, I'll talk about it because we really love his videos, but he just gets on our nerves because it's like, I just feel like we all have weaknesses. We all have blind spots. I'm not knocking the dude. He's
right.
Ridiculously successful. But in my mind, you have these millions and millions and millions of people who wait on bated breath for you to make your next video. Like, why not just get a team so that you can create more content and spend less time doing it for all these people that you say you care so much about, you know? But I get it. I get it. We get stuck in our heads. We want to do things a certain way. And I probably rambled on that subject, but the point is that that's part of the process, you know, like, you put that thing out there and then you're like, well, this was cool, but we can make it better. Like, we can make it more impactful. And then I think once we get to that point where it is, like where we figured it out and it is more impactful, I think that's when, you know, things start gaining momentum and gaining viewership and gaining excitement. But you got to be okay with that, you know, that part, that process of putting it out there and it's not so great.
Yeah, that is difficult. And it's funny because the other reason that I like doing the podcast is like anytime you feel like you're going long, I'm like, no, go long, because it's like having the freedom to kind of like express yourself and seeing how other people do it. Because like some people do shorter because I guess for shorter attention span, other people do it longer for being able to really flow with it. And what I've found, it's like as you get to talk to someone and you get to actually know somebody, it's like there's that getting to know you process. And like the more comfortable you kind of get in the conversation, like the more someone can kind of say what's on their mind and actually have it resonate, because it's like it gives you time to think about what it is that you want to say and kind of flow with it. But like having that freedom to like, no, like just keep going on what you're saying. It's I enjoy that part.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's awesome. Well, I don't want to keep you too much longer, but I'll ask you two things. And if you have any questions for me, feel free. But where can people get in touch with you and just be able to see your work and also just reach out if they want to connect and work with you?
The best way to get in touch with me is on Instagram. And you can see you can see a lot of my work there. And I do respond. So, you know, if you leave a comment or if you DM me, I will respond, as long as you don't say something, you know, crazy. So I don't think you're a psycho. I will respond to all those messages. So that's Jamie, J-A-M-I-E _ Rachelle, R-A-C-H-A-L. I don't know if I had to do that on Instagram. That's the best way to reach me.
Gotcha. What do you mean? You don't know if you had to do that?
Well, I don't know if the information is going to be somewhere else where they can, you know, get.
Oh,
you know,
I got you. No, you're good. I'll usually put it in the description and I always try to go back and forth to make sure that like I'll put a link out and I can still like get to it, or like in searching it, it'll still be, what's the word? It'll still be relevant, because like, you know, some people will, they have a tendency to just change their name like every few months or something. It's like every flavor of the month, so to speak. Like people will just be like, okay, now I'm this thing, now I'm this thing, now I'm this thing, now I'm this thing. It's like, all right, guys, let's take a pause. But I think Instagram does have it keeps history of like whatever the name was. So like at one point, if you were named one thing, it knows that and it keeps like following the breadcrumbs, so to speak.
Right.
But
yeah, I don't go ahead. My name. I haven't changed my name.
Gotcha. I like that you used your name. I thought about doing that for mine, but I'm like, I'll stick with the podcast for now. Maybe I'll get around to that another time. I'm not sure. It's one of those things where it's like, it seems like people resonate with just other people, where it's like, okay, like I identify you by your name, but like a platform, so to speak, kind of works too.
Yeah. Yeah. It depends on what you're doing. I mean, you have a podcast, so yeah. It totally makes sense. It's like I have other pages that have not really seen the light of day, but they have other names. Gotcha. This one will always, I mean, as long as Instagram is around, this one will always be the same. And then, you know, when some of these other big projects start to come out, those will have pages too, like our comic book that I'm very excited about. I didn't say anything about the comic book yet.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, that's a really exciting project. I could have totally just talked about that as being a, you know, a huge learning process for my art. I had never done a comic book before. And I started this one 2.5 years ago. And I would say it's about 70% done. So a lot of the work is done at this point. And I'm not even going to say that. Soon, things will be coming. Well, information about the book will be coming out like really soon. But an actual Kickstarter will hopefully be in the works in the near future. But it's the title of it is Bridges, And it's a book about four teenage girls with powers growing up in Oakland. Well, they're kind of like headquartered in Oakland, which is my hometown. And I'm working on this project. This project was actually something that one of my old school buddies came to me, and he was like, you know, I want to do this comic book. I want my daughter to be the main character. And, you know, she'll be a superhero with these three other girls. And I want my dad to be in the book as well. And that was it. That was all the information that I had. And in the beginning, I was like, I knew I had never done it. And I kind of in my mind knew that it probably wasn't a good idea for me to try to do it. So at first I was like, you know, I'm going to just help him find, I'm going to bring together these people who can do the book. And I'll come up with all the ideas, and you know, we'll just kind of contract people, which you know wouldn't have been a bad way to do it, but obviously it wouldn't have helped me grow as an artist. Right. But what happened was, in the beginning, I started designing the characters, and as I designed the characters, it was just like, no, I got to do this myself, like. I got to try. Yeah. And so I did bring on a writer, a really well-established writer in the independent comic game. I don't know if you ever heard of Tuskegee Airs, but
that name sounds familiar.
It's a really cool, really big comic book, an independent Black comic book. And the art's done by a guy named Marcus Williams. And the writer on the project his name is Greg Burnham. Both of them just super dope artists here in Atlanta. And so Greg came in and he kind of helped. Greg, the writer, came in. And he kind of said, okay, yeah, he was all for it. So yeah. He kind of helped me orchestrate it. But the thing that was so cool about it was it was like my first time working on this kind of project. I had no idea what it was going to be like, but I ended up designing the characters, you know, creating their names, creating their powers, creating their backstory.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just developing the whole entire thing. And then, you know, getting with Greg and, you know, creating the actual story of the first book. It's like a 30-page book. It's a big book. This was like a big thing for me.
Yeah.
And it was painful and it was scary because it was so much, but it's all been good, scary, you know, and good, stressful, because I've learned so much. And like I said, we're about 70% done now. So, you know, I can finally see the light at the end of the tunnel. And it's going to be a super cool project. Having Greg on it, you know, he's already like really well established in the industry and the whole comic book convention circuit. So we can't wait for this thing to get out and people to see it. You know, the story about four Black girls, and they're all a little bit different and they all have different powers. And I think it's going to be it's going to be really cool. So. And it's also going to be a tremendous achievement for me personally, because it's just been one of those things, like it's been a major boulder that I've had to push up the hill, you know, centimeter by centimeter. So we may need to have some sort of party once this book is complete.
Yeah, but that's what's up.
Yeah, that's it.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Information coming soon.
Yeah. I guess with you being in the art space, like, are you familiar with Dragon Con?
Yeah. Yes. Happened in this weekend.
Yeah.
Right.
A buddy of mine was telling me that's going on in Atlanta, because I was like, I'm down in South Georgia in Valdosta. And I was like, I wonder if I should head up that way with it being Labor Day weekend. I'm like, maybe I could go up a little early, stay at someone's place, and like just be up there, because I'm got to be up there for work come Tuesday. And I was like, maybe I could do it. Otherwise, it's like, I could just stay at home and just rest up a little bit, enjoy the actual Labor Day weekend and just chill out. But I was curious if like that's something that you've attended before, or if you if you're planning to attend it this year or this weekend.
No, I've never attended it. I'd like to, but I'm not going to this weekend. I'm trying to get some work done this weekend on the book. So like I said, my regular job right now is just taking up so much time. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're going to do something fun this weekend. I don't know what it is, but I'm not going to be able to get to the convention. And that's one thing I'm really, really excited about, is to finally get to a real comic book convention and have actually something to share at, like, that'll be a big deal for me, because I've never been to a major comic book convention. I've been to like little tiny ones before. Yeah. I've never been to a major one.
Man, that's dope. And like you talk about just being, I know I said two questions, but of course, once we bring this up, it's like, we got to talk about it a little bit. But yeah, sure. Like you talk about just with the project being like two and a half years in and being 70% done, like, and just kind of the struggles of going through it and just the growth that you had to go through during this period of time. Like what is that like? Because it's like you have a writer, you have an artist, you have yourself who came up with the characters, but like, what does it involve, like putting a comic book together, especially you doing it for the first time? And like, it's 30 pages. And I guess, I don't know how, like what a standard comic book size is versus like this one being like on the bigger end, and thinking like, okay, you got to print this. Is it going to be digital? Is it going to be hard copy? Is it like you've got it front to back? Everything, of course, like in America, reads left to right. And like, you got like the different, what do you call those? The different panels and things like that. Maybe I'm getting too deep into the weeds, but like, what's that? What's been the most difficult part through the 2.5 years, just kind of understanding what it takes to put not just the book together, but getting the right team and knowing like your role on the team, that type of thing?
Yeah. I would say that if you take on a project like this, you absolutely should try to have a team if you can. But as far as creating the book, all of those things you just mentioned, I mean, I had to kind of figure out all of it at once, which certain parts weren't so difficult because of, you know, my abilities up to this point, my graphic design experience up to this point. You know, I could look at and my experience with comic books, you know, just being familiar with comic books, and, you know, I could just take cool comic book pages and look at them and kind of analyze them and say, oh yeah, that's cool. I could do something kind of like this. So from a design perspective, that part of it wasn't so difficult, but the art part was the real challenge. Like it's one thing to just, you know, draw what you like to draw, or which for me is usually me focusing on one person usually. It's a whole nother thing to create a story and to tell the story visually and images that make sense. You know, like you don't even think about it till you start trying to create a page, but like you have an idea for what's supposed to be happening on the page, but then you have to understand how to explain it with pictures and have it make sense. Because sometimes you create a whole page and it seemed like it made sense, but then you look at it and you're like, oh, they're not going to know what the heck she's doing right there. They're not going to know that she's trying to, you know, encourage this person to feel a certain way. Like, how do I do that? You know, there's that. And then there's also, I gotta switch it up. You know, they can't just be all facing forward in every frame, like just, you know, looking at their head. You gotta come at the scene from different angles. You gotta show them from above. You gotta, if it's, you know, triumphant, you gotta show them from below. You gotta, you know, so it was like that part of it, and adding in, well, not adding in, but already having my, you know, self-criticism over, you know, everything that I draw anyway, became a challenge, because on a page, you've got 6 or 7 different drawings on each page. And so a big part of the growth in pain was just getting outside of myself and what I normally do and the time that it takes me to normally do those things and the limitations that I usually give myself. And then to just totally go outside of those and be like, oh, we're going to have, you know, a guy, he's going to have different expressions. And then on down here, they're going to be, you know, doing something in action, and something here, there's going to be a car. Oh, I don't draw cars. You know, I got to figure out that. And so that part of it, and then having it come together and have it be, in my opinion, a well done professional, or at least close to a professional looking comic book as possible. Yeah. You know, that was the part that took me so much time. I mean, I promise you, it's like a 30 page book. There was plenty of pages that I spent like, you know, weeks just working on one page, you know, and that was the hard part, because, you know, you have to get it done. And everybody's saying, you know, when people have paid you and people need it, it's like they want you to get it done and you want to get it done for them. And you're trying to kind of push it out. You are pushing it out. But at some point you have to go back to it and say, you know what? I know I just pushed this page out, but this page isn't ready. I got to go back. I got to do it again, or I got to change it, or I got to redo the whole page. You know, that's really hard. It's really hard, because everybody's, you know how it is. When people look at stuff, they're like, oh, you know, just, it's great. You know, it's fine. Just, you know, just finish it. Just do something like that. It doesn't have to be perfect. You know, that's the kind of stuff people say.
Yeah.
But you know that it has to be a certain way, even if it's not going to be exactly what you want it, which is not, you still kind of have to hold yourself to a certain standard and be willing to push to that standard, even when it's really painful. I know I keep saying that.
No, but it's true, because it's like that pain is kind of what you need to get through on the other side. Because like, what if you're just going through it and you just like, oh no, there's not going to be any pain. It's like when that pain actually hits, it hurts. You're like, what the heck was this? Nobody told me about this. Like, you lied to me. What the heck, guys? Come on. Like, you just said like sabotaging me here. What's going on? It's like, it's that like rude awakening moment when you're like, I thought I was just supposed to take the shortcuts, and I was going to take a course, and I was going to do it this. And then all they said was just be consistent. It's like, nobody said be consistent with even your mistakes and your faults. And like, when you don't feel like doing it, just do like, you're rolling out of bed. And like, it's like, yeah, it does hurt. And I think it's important that you do point that out, because it doesn't get you over the hump, or like the pain is that hump you do have to get over to be like, okay, it's not always going to feel good, but like it's got to get done at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Because, you know, if you rewind back to the beginning, before we even started the book, there's a part of me that just already knew I couldn't do it. And I couldn't, under the time constraint that the book was expected, or that everything was expected, I couldn't do it in that time constraint. But the fact that I took it on, I mean, of course, you can't do this in all situations, and I don't suggest that people do this in all situations. This was my childhood friend, and, you know, there was a certain amount of leeway that was given to me on this project, and I really, really appreciate that. And he stayed consistent. He stayed motivated. He stayed like, okay, Jay, when are we going to get this done? You know, he never said like, you know, F it, man. Like, you know, you're not doing your part. You're not, no, forget it. We'll just go find somebody. He never did that. And so the fact that I took on the project that I knew I shouldn't have taken on, and had to go through, you know, all of the pain that I had to go through, that was a good thing, because some people can do that to themselves and get to the point where they're trying to go. I don't have that kind of motivation where I just purposely going to beat myself until it's done. Yeah. So I needed this situation to put me in this painful, you know, growing process. Yeah. And I've grown tremendously. I know that I still have a long way to go, but at least after 2.5 years, I can finally say, yes, I feel the difference. I have improved. I'm in fact already working on my own stuff, because I didn't know that I could do this for myself. So it's definitely been a great experience, even as difficult as it's been. It's been an amazing experience. So again, I don't suggest that anybody do that, because when you take on projects, you need to be able to finish them in the time that they're supposed to be done. Yeah. But the point is, sometimes you got to have somebody else or something else outside of yourself push you to where you really want to get there. But you just don't, like I said, you don't have it in yourself to go outside and put in the Rocky workout and really make yourself hurt. Because that's not, to me, I don't think that's natural. That's not normal.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think this is probably a good point for us to close on, kind of taking us back to where we started our conversation. Are you still who you said you were, like going through this process, going through your journey as an artist, and just even going through your journey as a father?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what, you know, one of the things that feels good about it, 40s, you know, as you get older, you worry like, am I doing what I said I was going to do? Am I the person that I hoped I was going to be? And even though it wasn't ideal, even though I didn't get here the way I probably had hoped, you know, I can feel good that, you know, I've come a long, long way. And, you know, the person who cares, you know, I care about my kids. I care about setting an example for them. And I would say I'm definitely that same person, even though I've grown and evolved. So, yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for this time, Jamie. It's great hearing about what you've got going on, and look forward to seeing the end results.
Thank you, Asher. I appreciate it, man. It definitely feels weird just talking about me. Hopefully next time we get to talk about you a little bit.
For sure. We'll trade back a little bit more. But happy Labor Day weekend, man, and take care of yourself.
Happy Labor Day, man. You take care.